chapter number 2, as we've been looking through the playlist this year here in Luke's Gospel, particularly the first two chapters. And we're coming to our last one this morning that we're going to look at together. There's other places we could go to, obviously, with respect to the glory unto the Lord, but as Marion actually read from the text here this morning, here about Simeon, this will be the last place that we look at. And the Nunc Dimittis, that's Latin. That's your Latin terms for today. The song that we're looking at today is called the Nunc Dimittis, which means now dismiss. And so as we read it, maybe you'll understand where that title has come from, but reading from Luke chapter number 2, begin with verse 25 there. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So we're going to add this to our playlist this morning as we've come to the fourth song. The first one was Mary's Magnificat, or the praise of Mary. And my soul doth magnify the Lord. Remember, we looked at that one. Zechariah's song, the Benedictus, or blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And of course, last Sunday, the Glory in Excelsis Deo, or glory to God in the highest, the songs of the angels. And so here, once again, we're come to the praises of a man by the name of Simeon, a man we know really little about. And just this really brief encounter, but I always like going here and reading this passage of Scripture just because it's just so... it's just so powerful, and just the picture that's painted here of Joseph and Mary as they bring their newborn child, more than likely about 8 days of 8 days old at this point, to do to him according to the custom or according to the law that every child that was born, every male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And there were also purifications that had to take place, just indeed with Mary, according to Levitical law. And you can read that in Leviticus chapter number 12. We won't do that this morning. But just to maybe get a better understanding later on, you can read Leviticus 12 and understand why Joseph and Mary had to make the trip from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, up to Jerusalem, which is about approximately 6 miles. Journey, which I guess, you know, with a newborn child would be a full day's journey to make that voyage or that trip up. But yeah, they had to do that because it was according to the law. It's sometimes hard, and you hear a lot of discussion about the chronology or how all the events that took place around Jesus's birth. And you know, we can put Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel together, and we can get a pretty good understanding of the order of events as far as where they went from place to place. after the birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem. If you remember, first they started in Nazareth, and the decrees given by Caesar that all the world would be taxed, as Marion read for us this morning. And it's then that Joseph and Mary make the trip down from Nazareth down into Bethlehem, because they were of the city of Bethlehem, and for the census that was going to take place. And as we've looked at last week, it is there that the Christ child was born, and there and laid in a wrapped in swaddling cloths or clothes and laid in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And it's here where the shepherds came and glorified God there, as the word that had been given to them by the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And so after those events, here we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph traveling up to Jerusalem to do according to the law, according to Jesus, that he was to be circumcised, and also unto Mary, because there was a purification process of any woman. There was a length of time that had to offer certain sacrifices. And those sacrifices were based on first your ability and what you could give. And I think it's pretty clear through Scripture that Mary and Joseph, you know, because of their income, because they weren't wealthy people, it's that they had to give the minimum of sacrifice, which goes back to the whole coming of Christ and the King being born to such a lowly setting and to a people of not real great significance. But yet here we find that's how Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, entered into our world. And so from there, no doubt after Jerusalem, they probably traveled back down to Bethlehem and dwelt there. And this is where it gets a little muddy for some folk, and there's some debate there about how long they actually were there before the wise men or the magi will come to visit them. The play we saw last week over in Lynchburg kind of depicts it about 2 years. And they get that from the fact that when Herod understood that he had been tricked by the magi, that he slew all the children from 2 years down. And so that's where that age would come in, about how long they feel like they were in Bethlehem. Well, if you remember, it was during that time that Joseph fled to Egypt with Jesus and Mary. And they dwelt in Egypt for a while until the death of Herod. And after the death of Herod, they traveled back up to Nazareth. So all those things took place, but every move that was taking place was a fulfillment of prophecy. All of it was done for a reason. The first trip down to Bethlehem was done that the scripture might be fulfilled. Messiah would come from Bethlehem. The trip from Bethlehem down to Egypt was for the purpose that out of Egypt have I called my son. And the Bible applies those scriptures, even though they might have had significance when they were first given by the prophet or whoever may have given those prophecies. Yet here we find them applied to the life of Christ and this great work that was to be accomplished. And even the trip up to Nazareth, because there's a prophecy given in Matthew 2, even though we don't have the Old Testament passage for that, but yet it said that it might be fulfilled, he came from Nazareth. But there's really not an Old Testament scripture that applies to that, but yet it was a prophecy that they were given and understood to be so. And there's some debate there of where that prophecy actually came from. But the whole point is this, that the theme of Scripture, and it's been obvious in each of the songs that we've looked at, is that of salvation. That salvation had come, that the Savior had come into the world to save men. Amen. That the Savior, if someone would come up to you on a Monday morning and just ask you, you know, what is the theme of Scripture? What is the Bible really about? And, you know, you could talk about this, that. You could talk about, you know, the Genesis account, the creation. You could talk about Abraham. You could talk about Moses and the law given on Mount Sinai. You could even go out throughout the history of Israelites and talk about David and the great kings that served there, all the way up to the prophets and all. But really the theme is that of salvation. And that's what the message is of these songs, that salvation has come unto the world. A Savior was born this day unto you. Is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so that could be our answer. You know, I know it might seem oversimplified, but I'm like that. I like things simple. And so when people ask me, you know, what's the Bible about? The Bible is about how that we can have eternal life. I mean, from Genesis unto the Revelation, it's about that. As even the Jesus spoke of himself in the volume of the book, I Come. He said, to do thy will, O God. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they that speak of me. The promise of God, Paul says, in him are yea, and in him are amen. Meaning what? Meaning the promises that God gave from Abraham all the way up even to David and so forth are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. In him, in Jesus, they're yes, and in him they are amen. And so this event that took place here, as Mary and Joseph do take the child, this 8-day-old child, up to Jerusalem to do it with him according to the law of Moses. And it's here that we find this man by the name of Simeon. Even though we may know little about him, little is known of his history, where he came from, even his occupation. I don't believe that he was a priest. It doesn't seem like it would mention that if he was. But he was here in the temple on the day that Joseph and Mary brought him up. The Bible says of Simeon, this we know of him. It says the same man was a just and he was a devout man. So Simeon was a good man. Simeon was a fair man. And when the Bible talks about being just, it means just that. It speaks of justice. The Bible has a lot to say about justice, doesn't it? What does that mean? It means the Bible has a lot to say about rightly dividing justice. That we're not partial or that we're not special treatment for this group and not for this group. Why? Because our God is a just God. Amen. I mean, as we got a righteous king this morning. I mean, that God does that which is right. We can be sure of that. And as we glorify God and we sing praises unto the Lord, it's that we're speaking great things about our God. Amen. When we glorify God, it means we're saying how great our God is. Amen. Because he's worthy of praise, isn't he? And our God is a just God. I mean, the world may speak evil against God and say, well, if God was this or that, we give praise unto God and thank God for this great salvation that we're reading about this morning, because we know that our God is a great God. Well, here we find that this man Simeon, the Bible says he was a just man. He was a devout man. That there seems to have been, even in this time of apostasy in the land of Israel, there seems to be this small minority or this small group of people that are still holding up to what is true. They're still standing on the promises of God. They're still looking for, as Simeon puts it, excuse me, the consolation of Israel. If you remember, as we've looked through each individual, as we've been looking at these songs, whether it be Zacharias or tied with Zacharias would be Elizabeth, or even Mary's song and tied with Mary would be that of Joseph, that God spoke to people here. Look in chapter 1 of Luke. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. The Bible says of Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse number 19, says of Joseph that he was a just man. The Bible says of Mary that she was highly favored of God. And I was just thinking about, you know, all these passages of Scripture. You know, I know, you know, I guess the world gets, or even the church, a lot of times they'll talk about, you know, God used this one, he used that one. Well, here we're finding that God is revealing his secrets to righteous people. Amen. That the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. As the psalmist tells us, he will show them his covenant. And so here we find God revealing himself unto devout, righteous people. Now, don't take that too far this morning. We understand that our true righteousness only comes through Jesus Christ. But, you know, even though Hebrews 11 may not mention Mary per se, because for whatever, or may not mention Joseph, or may not mention Zacharias or Elizabeth, or even as we're looking at here this morning, Simeon, we find that these very people also are, could be listed as those people of faith. I mean, why? Because they believed the promises of God. Amen. And they were looking for this. They were expecting this, that God was going to fulfill and do what he said he would do. And so here we find this man Simeon says he was waiting, looking for the consolation of Israel, or the comfort of Israel. let's turn quickly to Malachi. Listen to the words of the prophet that were given some 400 years before the events that we're looking at this morning. Look over in Malachi chapter number 4. And we read some of this last time when we were looking at John and the Elijah that would come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But just backing up, and we'll just read the first three verses since we read toward the end there already. But it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." This prophecy was given some 400 years before these events that we're looking at. This, when the Bible speaks about this darkness and the light that's shining up, I know we looked at that when we were listening or studying the song there of Mary as well. But that darkness often being symbolic of that of evil or ignorance or pain or suffering or death. It says that this sun, S-U-N, of righteousness is going to rise with healing and in his wings. And so Simeon would be one of those that were looking for the fulfillment of this promise, because he was looking for the comfort or the consolation of Israel. The word there used in Luke chapter number 2 is the word paraclete, which, if you're familiar with your Bible at all, as far as that with the Holy Ghost, talking about the Comforter will come, it's the same form of that very same word that's used with respect to the Holy Spirit. And so when Simeon was a just man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he was looking for the Comforter. He was looking for the exhorter. He was looking for that comfort that was prophesied of by Isaiah the prophet. If you'll allow me to do this morning, just real quickly, I'm going to run through some of these passages in Isaiah as we read about this comforter that was promised to come. Isaiah 40 and 1 says this: comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her trouble. And it's from there that the prophet goes into talking about this way of the Lord being made straight of him that crieth in the wilderness. And we know that to be a prophecy of John. So this comforter was tied to this coming voice. Skip down to verse 10. It says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Man, this comforter that was prophesied. Look at Isaiah 51. As we go through this, there's many places we could stop here in this book of Isaiah, but just trying to get an overview of some of these verses. Isaiah 51 and 3 says this: "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden." When you think about Eden, you think about the Garden of Eden, which means pleasant or delightful. It says he'll make her way like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Over in chapter 57 as well this morning, verse number 18 there, Isaiah: "I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners." So as Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel, or the comforter of Israel, the Holy Ghost being upon him, and back in Luke 2, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Think about that promise. When Simeon got this promise, we don't really know. We're not given exactly the time, but at some point in his life, he had received a promise that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Amen. Wouldn't that be something to think about? If you knew exactly, God said, listen, you ain't going to die until this happens. You can just go through life, you know. Simeon be up on his ladder working on the shed or something. His wife, Simeon, you going to fall off that ladder? No, I'm not. What do you mean you're not? No, I can't die. Simeon, you shouldn't eat that. It's bad for your heart. Doesn't matter. Amen. God said, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord's Christ. Amen. And so I think we can safely assume this morning, just according to the text, that it had been a while. It seems like just the spirit of the word here, or the spirit of the text, would tell us that Simeon had been looking and waiting for some time. But there was a certain day he got up, and the Spirit of God spoke to Simeon and said, Simeon, you need to go to the temple today. And there was an unction in his heart in some way, some form, some fashion. And however you might imagine that to have taken place, the fact is that that day, Simeon got up from where he was and traveled to the temple, no matter how far a distance it may have been. And the temple is no small thing. If we know a little bit about the temple, it's a big area. I mean, there was congregations that were brought in here to worship. And no doubt, you know, Mary and Joseph were probably not the only young couple to be there to do according to the law. That's just an assumption, but I think we can safely say, just because of all the nations of Israel and all the people that were gathered together there, that there were probably others that were there to do according to the law. Whether it be the circumcision of their newborn son, or whether it be the purification that Mary was going to have to go through and the sacrifices that were going to have to be offered. And so there were others that were there. But yet here Simeon comes, and as he approaches this young couple, and he takes the child in his hands, and it's just such a picture to think about this morning. And it says it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, so Simeon takes this little child, think about that. It's kind of hard to imagine that we're talking about a savior. We're talking about salvation, a deliverer that was going to save his people. But yet here in this helpless, he chose to come as this little, it ain't like that baby was spouting off truths from God's word. It was a little baby. But yet Simeon understood that God had revealed to him, there's the Savior. That's the one I told you about. That's the one that was coming. And the Spirit brought him out. And the Bible says he took the child up in his arms and he blessed God. He spoke highly of God. He spoke great things about God. Amen. Maybe he began to prophesy or to speak some of the words of Isaiah. Or maybe he began to think about, as God spoke and said, it's a small thing that I'd be a light unto Israel, but I'm also going to be a light to the whole world. I'm going to be a light unto the Gentiles. Maybe these passages that he was probably so familiar with began to come back through his mind. And it's almost like there was a relief of sorts. In a sense that, as we talked about, that Greek term there of the nunc dimittis means now dismiss or now allow me to go. How's he worded there? He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And so there's almost seems to be, and I might be reading this into the text, I don't mean to, but it does seem to be a sense of relief. God, you said I would see Messiah come. You said I would see the consolation of Israel. And now I'm looking at this little child that this young couple has brought in to offer up this sacrifice. And I'm saying, God, this is the one revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. Now just let me go in peace. Man, it's almost like someone that, you know, gets to a point in their life where they've been holding on, they've been fighting for their health or struggling, and you've seen it maybe in people that are dear to you, and they get to a point where it just seems like they say, okay, I'm tired of fighting. But in Simeon's situation, it was much different. And what he saw was, oh, here's our hope. I mean, here's what we've been looking for. It's not that he said, I don't have to fight anymore. It's just that he saw, this is our salvation. And you promised to me that I would see it. And so now dismiss me or allow me, allow thy servant to depart in peace according to thy word. God, you said this, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. I've seen it with my eyes. Maybe at that point he had pictured it in his mind's eye. Maybe at that point he had just thought about what this Messiah or this Savior would look like. But now he's saying, I've seen it. Amen. As Jesus talked about Abraham and said, Abraham, he saw my day and was glad. And now we find Simeon seeing it with his very natural eye. He's looking upon this baby and says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou, God, Father, thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Amen. It was prepared. It was directed by God. Amen. All throughout time, everything that we read about in the Old Testament scripture was all the foreknowledge of God. Amen. Even what was lying ahead for this baby Jesus was all the plan of God. Not an afterthought, but prepared by God. Amen. Even when God was prophesying to Abraham, in these shall all nations of the world be blessed. Jesus, the Word, was there. The Word. When the sacrifices in the temples were given, even when they were instituted on the Mount Sinai, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But now this Word has been made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And as Luke said, we beheld, or John, we beheld his glory. Amen. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. It wasn't just going to be for this group or that group, but it was going to be for all nations, all peoples, before the face of all people. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. You don't, if you're sitting down with a friend for coffee this week and you would like to share the gospel with them, you don't have to think, I wonder if it's for them. Amen. Because the Bible says it's for all peoples. Now, it's not that we all get sucked up in this universal thing, because Simeon is going to go on and cover that. He's going to talk about this child is for the fall and rising again. It's for the fall of some and the rising of others. Paul does this very same thing in his preaching. Amen. The gospel message for some that believed it was life, for some that didn't believe it was death. And so there is this line of demarcation. There is this line of separation, and it's this. What do we do with Jesus? Man, who is this Jesus? And so he prepared it before the face of all people, light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. The glory of thy people Israel. When you often think of glory, you think of light. In the Bible, a lot of times it talks about the glory of the Lord or the Shekinah glory, and compares it to that of a great light. But even beyond that, it's that God chose this nation to bring about salvation to the whole world. Man, even Paul talks about that in some of his writings, where he talks about what advantages there of being a Jew. He says, there's much. Because unto them were given the ordinances of God. And so it's a glory to them that they were the means by which the Savior of the world came into the world. And it was to all nations and to all people. It says, and Joseph and his mother marveled all these things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon gives them a word. And this word of salvation and this word of blessing, it's kind of a sober ending to this encounter with Simeon. As he looks at these two young people and blesses them, and it's kind of a personal thing now. Up till now he's been blessing God, he's been blessing nations, he's been blessing Gentiles. Now he's looking at Joseph and Mary, and he blesses them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Then it says this, "And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Amen. There's so much there to think about this morning. Think about this prophecy being given. Now we're talking about falling, we're talking about swords, we're talking about piercings. And it is kind of a sober ending to this text. But yet we understand that what it was pointing to was what lied ahead. And that as Mary received this very personal warning of such, or the information given to her was that when that time come, maybe when she was there and she saw Jesus hanging on that cross, or when she saw him being taken by the soldiers, and she was present. We don't know much of Joseph after this. There's some that believe that Joseph died early. I don't know that, but the silence of Joseph later on in the Gospels would lead us to believe maybe something along those lines happened. We don't know for certain. We can only guesstimate, I guess. But we do find Mary there all throughout his life somewhere, and even there at the cross. And as Jesus was there on the cross and instructed John to basically take care of her, it seemed like maybe she needed taking care of, because maybe her husband wasn't present. We don't know that, but we can only assume that. But this warning of this piercing was given to her, "Pierced through thy own soul also." And it's for this reason, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What they did with Jesus revealed what was in their heart. There were some that believed on him. There was others that mocked him. And as Jesus said, "If you have me, you have the Father. But if you reject me, you're rejecting the Father." Amen. It was what they did with Jesus. The Savior of the world. Jesus is that dividing line. He is our salvation. And we do know that there was the sorrow that lay ahead for him. But in the end, for the glory that lay ahead, the Bible says, he endured the cross, despising the shame, for the glory that lay ahead. Amen. He didn't stay in that manger. He didn't stay upon that cross. He didn't stay in that grave. But he rose again, triumphant. And he is our Savior today. So we too can say, we have a Savior. Amen. And that's really, we think about the message of, think about Christmas. It's, we get presents and we get gifts and we get excited. I get excited about it. I like presents. I like opening them. I like giving them. But the greatest gift of all is the life that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we rejoice in that today. And we remember it and celebrate it together. For unto us is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for this song of Simeon that we've looked at this morning. God, that you are faithful, Lord, to do according to that will. Father God, you've done exactly as you said you would do. Lord, you prepared a way in the wilderness. God, you made a way where there was no way. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God, you truly are the good shepherd, and you care for your sheep. Lord, and you've sought us out, God, and you've done the work, God, and we're so thankful for it today. Thank you for drawing our hearts unto you. God, thank you, Lord, that we believe. Thank you for this great gift of salvation. It's coming to all people, Lord, and we celebrate it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.